China tries to use the market to cut carbon dioxide.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. China today released the details of its first carbon trading system to reduce carbon dioxide linked to climate change. More than 600 factories and building companies will participate in the Shenzhen region. It's sometimes called cap and trade. First, a limit on carbon output. Then, cleaner companies get to make money selling carbon credits to dirtier companies. Carbon trading has a spotty record. Critics say the big European Union effort has not worked well. Soon, China is expected to add transportation companies to its carbon trading system. And there's news Beijing is adding more than 50 miles worth of subway track by the end of next year. But will it really combat traffic, carbon dioxide, and other pollution? Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
Just 5 years ago, the Beijing subway system was 70 miles long. Today, it's nearly four times that. But economics professor Zhao Jian at Beijing's Jiao Tong University says it's going to take more than hundreds of miles of subway lines to solve Beijing's traffic problem.
The key to alleviating traffic and pollution in Beijing is to raise the cost of owning and using cars. As it stands, parking fees are very low and traffic tickets aren't that expensive. This needs to change.
A few years ago, a section of highway in Beijing had a traffic jam that lasted 10 days. This year, levels of air pollution in Beijing were the worst on record. Zhao says that's thanks, in part, to cheap cars and cheaper license plates. In Shanghai, on the other hand, a license plate typically costs as much as a car itself. And that's meant Shanghai, which has a bigger, more affluent population than Beijing, has half as many cars and is often spared Beijing's persistent toxic haze. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Today, a U.S. Senate committee is set for a hearing on the prescription drug benefit program for seniors, known as Medicare, Part D. That's been around now for 10 years. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein looks at what this plan has meant to the pharmaceutical industry.
On the one hand, it's meant tens of millions of new customers. Mark Duggan is an economist at the University of Pennsylvania.
It expanded insurance coverage to many elderly and disabled Medicare recipients who wouldn't otherwise have that coverage.
But
on the other hand, the plans that Medicare recipients joined were very effective at negotiating price discounts.
Duggan says Part D plans, which are run by insurance companies, have steered patients to generics. He says that's helped keep down the cost of prescription drugs. Spending increases have slowed from 11% a year to under 4% since Part D came online. Yale economist Fiona Scott Morton says the emphasis on cheaper drugs has pushed companies to be more innovative if they want a big payday.
It forces firms to think about, what can I invent that's actually not just a Me Too drug, but is something that breaks new ground?
Still, Scott Morton says, thanks to Part D, drug makers are selling their products to millions more Americans than they were 10 years ago. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Japan's Nikkei closed up 1.6% today. The FTSE 100 in London is currently down 0.2%. On Tuesday, the S&P 500 in the U.S. gained less than 0.2% and is floating just under its record high.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
The country's most powerful banker gets to stay on as both CEO and chairman at J.P. Morgan Chase. With the shareholder vote now tallied, 68% wanted Diamond to keep his dual role, despite the mess involving nearly $7 billion lost in some trades gone wild. One man who had a horse in that race, albeit a very small horse, is Alan Sloan, senior editor-at-large for Fortune magazine. Alan, so you personally voted?
Right. I voted all of my vast holdings of 40 shares in favor of keeping the CEO and chairman together and in favor of all the directors.
I'm going to ask you about that. But wait, 40 shares, that's about $2,000, I think, according to my little calculation.
I think that's right.
So you voted to keep Jamie Dimon in those two titles. Why?
Because I think this whole idea that you have to separate the chairmanship from the chief executive officer is just nonsense. All it does is create another power center, another problem. And if you've got a minimally competent person, and Dimon is more than minimally competent, why do you need another level of bureaucracy in another person?
Well, some would say as punishment for making some mistakes this last year.
Well, everyone makes mistakes, including you and me. Does that mean they're supposed to divide our job and give us a new supervisor?
The argument is a check and balance situation. If CEO is about to go off half-cocked, maybe chairman could say, hey, that's not such a good idea.
One of the things that makes J.P. Morgan competent, though heaven knows it messed up, is it's an organization where the top people get in a room and duke it out with each other. That's also the same thing Goldman Sachs does.
So you're saying there's already a vigorous culture of questioning management decisions.
Right. So the last thing you need is yet another level of bureaucracy. I just don't understand it.
Now, I'm sure your 40 shares was the deciding factor in the vote yesterday. I think Dimon owes you, my friend.
Well, what can I say? I started with one share 40 years ago of National Bank of Detroit, and here I am. Well, maybe Jamie can buy my town and make me rich.
Alan Sloan, senior editor-at-large at Fortune magazine. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, David.
And an important story out of Germany. SAP, the huge business software company, says it's put a focus on hiring people with autism. The Financial Times says SAP wants to hire hundreds of people with the condition to program and to test software. An SAP director says the company values the way autistic people think differently and spark innovation. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.